Well, welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. It's the Quick 9 edition today as we preview a big weekend of games and a Hail Mary multi from Xavier Ellis that needs to be seen to be believed. All right, let's get stuck in. Well, it is the Hardball Gets AFL show, the Quick 9 edition as we cast our eye to the weekend ahead. My name's Chris Robinson. Joined in studio by Xavier Ellis and on the phone by Jackson Barrett, who's on assignment in Adelaide. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Hello, man. How are you? Xav, good to have you on the Thursday edition, Thursday debut for the year.
I tell you what, Robbo, I'm quite concerned about Jacko. I don't know who's in charge of his diary, but Gather Round was last weekend. There'd be absolutely nothing going on in Adelaide at the moment, except for about 1 or 1.5 million zombies after everyone just got slaughtered last weekend.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a bit late to the party. I am over for the Dockers game, but yeah, a little bit flat. I feel like you guys had the time of your life last week, and I can tell you there's not a hell of a lot to do in Adelaide. I sort of landed last night, went for a bit of a wander. It's pretty quiet. There's not a hell of a lot to do.
Maybe, again, I was carried away with Gather Round and the smiles and the different colours and everyone having fun. But I've said it before. We've done a couple of trips there with the wife and whatnot, like the Barossa and Clare Valley one. It is a beautiful city and state, Adelaide and South Australia. Like, yeah. I've had an absolute ball there.
And the proximity of Adelaide Oval to the guts of the city is fantastic.
When you
as
fly
well.
In, Jacko, how good does it look when you're almost over the top of Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, I missed it last night. I copped a middle seat with a couple of big fellas, so it was a tough journey over. Not excluding myself from the big fellas either, by the way, but I didn't catch it, but I did go for a walk last night and ended up there. And I think that's probably the appeal to Gather Round as well. I've watched footy at the Adelaide Oval a couple of times and beautiful spot, but the fact that, I mean, the Cass is right there, all the pubs are there, Hindley Street's there, the river, all you can do around there. And I feel like that's why it works so well. I feel like I'm one of the few people that hasn't got to a Gather Round, but is kind of keen on the idea. Like, I really like it. Like, yeah, there's all this chat about, it's all Kool-Aid and the blokes that are over there like it and the ones that aren't don't. But I reckon it looks brilliant.
Have they deflated the giant Sharon that was in the mall?
Yeah. I wandered through the mall last night. I bumped into Fremantle CEO Simon Garlick as well. So just some people spotting it at Rundle Mall last night. The mall's balls, I can confirm, are still there. The giant footy is not.
Can I give you one bit of advice, and it's my toxic trait, it's my absolute toxic trait, is when I am given a middle seat on a plane, jump on the app, either Virgin or Qantas, whoever you're flying with, and then have a look around who's got a seat in between them, and then at the very last second move to that seat, because that everyone looks at their seat and goes, oh yes, the middle seat's free, but if you're in the middle seat, you're cooked anyway. So you might as well go ruin someone else's day who thinks they've got a spare seat in between them. With about 10 minutes out from boarding, when they think they've finally got an empty seat, you just dart to the seat across the road or over the back or up the front and ruin the trip for them. Because if you're in the middle, no one's having fun.
Mate, that's terrible. I actually scored an exit row last night, which is nice because I've got
the story unrolls.
You made it sound like you were crammed in there. You got the exit row seat. Now, listen, I've got something to address with you as well before we get into the games.
Go on.
There was some disturbing news that came to light earlier this week.
Okay.
Dave, about our dear friend Jackson here. We discussed it. Jackson and I discussed
it. Is it?
He's had a few days now to think about his actions, to atone for his sins. And I wanted to check. I wanted to check whether you have atoned for your sins. Zave, so it emerged earlier this week that Jackson has never seen the 1990s Nicolas Cage blockbuster movies, Con Air. Or Face Off. He's never seen either of them.
Jack, I could fall into the Face Off category, but Con Air, as Nicolas Cage gets off that plane holding the bunny,
It's the bunny,
and what's that song? Is it Whitney Houston or something
it's,
going on in the background?
It's Leanne Rimes.
Is it Leanne Rimes?
Yeah. Oh, God, the song's got out of my head now. I've seen that movie about 20 times.
As they get off with a bit of dirt and the singlet on and the biceps. Ooh.
Yeah. Is it How Do I Live Without You?
Amazing.
So, Jacko, you've had time to think about this. You've gone to Adelaide. You've had the flight. Con Air, perfect movie to watch on a plane, by the way. Have you watched either of these magnificent motion pictures yet? And if not, why not?
Sorry, Matt, you'll hate this. I haven't. I spent the night before last packing to go to Adelaide and last night getting to Adelaide. You're right, I probably could have. I watched a few more episodes of Seinfeld, which I'm catching up on or watching through for the first time, Robert.
has also never seen Seinfeld somehow.
A couple more episodes last night in the bank, which was good. Last night was the Vietnamese nail salon. which was good. So just working my way through that at the moment.
I'm with you there, mate. I've never done Seinfeld either. Nah.
Oh my goodness.
Nah. I feel like you're heavily in that camp where you weren't. Like you're never popping in for an episode or two.
Okay. Do you know what my major movie/TV show oversight that I've never seen a single second of is in my life? Star Wars. Never seen a single second.
And I'll tell you what you should do when you're on radio. Call Star Wars and Star Trek the exact same.
Don't get any fanfare. Just say
they're the same anyway. Who cares? And that usually goes down really well. I'm with you, mate. I haven't seen any of them either.
All right. Should we roll into the games?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So Thursday night footy, Melbourne up against Brisbane. These two teams have met each other a hell of a lot in the past 3 years.
And the eighth time they've met too.
In the past 3 years, including two finals, obviously, in that span. Melbourne have typically had the wood on them. We go back to the MCG. Brisbane almost got them there last year. Zave, how do you see this one shaping up?
I'm going the upset. I'm going the upset the tonight. I'm going the Lions over the Ds. A couple of reasons. Clary Oliver, 16 disposals last week. Looked sore as a boil with his hand. Mm. Was he just getting the early shot with the first couple of rounds, and now his body's starting to tire because he hasn't done the work? And, you know, they always say preseason, you've got to do the work. Hasn't done the work. I'm worried about Melbourne, even though they're going so well. But I was against them at the start of the year. They've proven me completely wrong already. And Brisbane have done the other way around. But I just think there's something in the water tonight that I think that Brizzy get over the Ds.
Don't mind about the Lions. I think the line was sort of 15, 16, somewhere in that kind of capacity. Don't mind that at all. Jacko, how are you seeing it?
Remember, it's still 1-16 for the Lions at the G as well. So if they were to get up, it would be a massive story. And for all they've got wrong in the last few weeks, I feel like it would be a real marker for them if they got it right tonight. But I just think Melbourne, obviously Oliver was a little bit down at the weekend, but they've just got that part of their game right at the moment, and Max has been really good and keeps unlocking that side of things. So I'm backing them in. I'm really looking forward to watching Colton Tholstra. He's super exciting. He's not that Cozzy Pickett small forward type, really. Still brings that heat in forward defense, but he's a little bit bigger, can play as sort of like a mid-sized guy and compete in the air. He's ready-made, has played a final series and almost a full season for Subi. Good country boy, good kid, and a bit of a mad dog. Like, he won't be daunted at all by Thursday night footy.
Go hard, a mad dog, what, like a bluer or like takes a game on?
Yeah. No, like a bluer. Like, won't be at all fazed by 60,000 at the J on a Thursday night, and we'll take it up to whoever he finds himself on.
What do they say, Zane Dorko? Zane Dorko, and there's a chance. Keep an eye on Windsor. He's going so quietly about his business and looks. I think I compared him to a Bailey Smith type in an earlier edition. I can see him running around that hair shagging and whatnot. I just think he's had an outstanding start to the year.
Yeah, big fan.
So you're taking the Ds there. I'm probably Ds just, Jacko.
Yeah, I'm Ds by 4 or 5 goals, I think.
Okay, Friday night footy is the Dogs and the Bombers. This could be a 10-goal Dogs win. This could be a 6-goal Bombers win. This could be a draw.
I'll tell you what it definitely will be.
What's that?
Every midfielder has 30 touches. Every midfielder has 30. Some don't go anywhere because we know that some just don't move the ball forward.
Yeah.
The Doggies, for mine, I think they almost pump them.
Yeah, I can see a world where that happens. I can see a world where the floodgates open a little bit. Aaron Norton finally gets amongst it a little bit more. Interesting to hear Luke Beveridge talking earlier today on Thursday. We were recording about his role and pushing up the ground, working between the arcs a little bit more of a distributor.
He has to with Darcy and Jamara.
Yeah.
He can't have three running around in circles there.
Yeah, and Waitman goes as well there in a different role. Sorry, Jacko.
I think they've got to pull the trigger on him going back now. Like, I think they just need to have a look at it and figure out what it is. And people are just such big raps on how he played there in junior footy and state 18s. And I know that's another level, but strikes me as a pretty switched on fella that probably reads the game okay. He looked a little bit lost, I thought, in that role a little bit higher up between the arcs. And I reckon if you're playing him that high half forward thing, I reckon you've got other guys that aren't being paid what Aaron Norton's being paid that could do that, and you have a look at Norton back. Because Buku Kamas, we spoke about him a little bit last week, like, he's found that role right, but you would have thought you'd back Norton to do a similar role potentially better.
I coached against Norton in the under-18s. I coached Sam Taylor and Norton. That was the 1-2 punch. Norton, centre-half back, Sam Taylor, full-back, and Norton was selected before Taylor as a defender.
Mm.
So do what you will with that, but I think he'd be. I think he's a defender. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing one. Yeah.
Hard to send a 50-plus goal kicker back though. It is hard to do that.
Of course. But like we said earlier in the week. It's amazing that Bevo, of all the coaches, is reluctant to try.
He's never had that massive goal-kicking season, though, whereas I feel like Darcy could. So I think he's not a 70-goal-a-year guy.
Yeah, okay, good point.
We're all happy with the Dogs there?
Yep.
Bombers passed three Friday night games, by the way, just a little watch. 69-point loss, 41-point loss, 70-point loss. So they're on watch for Friday night games.
Ban them.
Ban them. Wow. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, support that.
Saturday's first game is the Giants and the Saints, so an elimination final rematch from last year, and obviously a real clash of styles here. So the Giants have gone 100-plus in each of their first four games of the season. The Saints, obviously, one of the stingier sides, like to go a bit of a slower tempo. So a real clash of styles here, Zoe.
Well, the scoring for St Kilda, just double-check then. In three of the games, they've scored 68 points, 68 points, 67 points.
And one goal in the first half last week.
And we had a rule as a team at Hawthorn, get to 80. You get to 80, unlikely going to get rolled. I know the times have changed. But if you can get yourself to 80, you're in absolutely every game. 67 points is nowhere near enough. And I can't. We sort of lauded their forward line because it is a bit crafty with Butler and Higgins. Memories there, of course, King, who I think the jury's still out. But they just don't score. They don't score. So it's hard to pick them any week because, you know, 67 points is not going to get the job done.
That scores from defensive 50 aspect of their game was shut down partly by the Tigers, who brought really good heat, and then partly by Norwood Oval that looked just too skinny for them. Like Brad Hill and Wanganeen Miller are just running into dead ends and that sort of thing. So you'd expect this to be a pretty back and forth sort of game, which works into their favour. But the Giants probably just have that class edge, don't they? Especially in midfield at the moment with Tom Green and guys like that. And then that forward line, remember, without Dougal Howard and guys like that, still pretty stretched down there, the tall stuff. For St Kilda, so I can see that, like the Callum Browns and Jesse Hogans, if they get the service, they could have a bit of a day.
No, I agree with that. And we're speaking about it on the earlier edition of the podcast, that they have these superstars, the Giants. Canelio, I don't know if we're tipping our hat to him enough at the moment, had another nearly 30 and a couple of goals. Josh Kelly is sitting out in the wing a lot at the moment because of how good they're going. Tom Green is as good as any accumulator in the competition. Sam Taylor is the best fullback in the competition. Toby Green's the best small forward in the competition. And then the next layer down, they've got an abundance of them. Oh, I think they've set themselves up so well, and I can't see St Kilda being much of an effort.
Yep, hard to go past the Giants at home for sure. Carlton against Adelaide. This is a good game on paper when we started the season. It doesn't look like such a good game now. Is it time to have the Matt Crouch conversation? So I went back and had a look at his win-loss. So they've won their past. They've won four of their past 16 with Crouch in the lineup.
What have they done over? So with Crouch, so Crouch has played the last how many? About that, is it?
He's played everything this season and came in with sort of
late last
what was
year.
It, five
what
or
were
six
they doing before Crouchy came
last
in?
Year?
Were they in a rut before he came in? Who knows?
I'd have to go back. But is it time to see what it looks like without him in that side? I know he's re-signed, but he was pushed to the bench last week. Saligo went in there. Are you happy to keep rolling with him just to give that midfield a different
Crouch
look?
Crouch stays in. The answer is not sending your best player to full forward in Jordan Dawson.
Correct.
He did that last week. I was like, what are you doing? Laird, get Stumpy Laird back into defence. He did it for 6 years or whatever it was. But you can't have Dawson, Crouch and Laird. I've got Crouch in there as an accumulator. Say you are up against Paddy Cripps straight away. There's a bigger body. Cripps is not going to run off you. So I just think Laird's the one that needs to go to defence and take it on from defence there. Leave Dawson, leave Crouch, get Saligo in there. But I've gone the upset this week anyway.
You're taking taking the Crows?
Yeah, it's a Nick Rin vibe.
Oh,
it's a vibe.
It's a big call.
I don't think Carlton's midfield's going that well at all. They got absolutely slaughtered on the weekend.
Sam Walsh just...
First up. Take him on.
Yeah, okay. Fascinating. Jacko?
The broader problem with the Crows is obviously their list, which we talk about all the time. But I think the question there is with, you know, who comes out? Is it Crouch or does Dawson go forward? It's kind of like who's next in there, because it's Schonberg or I think Sam Berry might have been the sub at the weekend. And, I mean, that doesn't fill you with a hell of a lot of excitement either. It needs to be like Saligo and more Rankin
and Rochelle.
And like Phil from within. But I don't think Crouch coming out of the side, because then you're just looking at like a Berry who tackles a bit, but is the same pace as everyone else.
Gold Coast hosting Hawthorn, so this is one of those Saturday night Gold Coast games.
Slop fest.
Little bit worried about the Hawks going into this one. I know they've been super the past couple of weeks. They gave Geelong a little bit of a scare on Easter Monday. Yeah. They ran Collingwood really, really close last week.
They should have beaten them last week.
They should have. Yeah. And if there's two or three more minutes in that game, they probably do.
Just that simple shot of goal he missed from McDonald missed from 30 out directly in front to go in front.
Yeah. Like 100%. But sort of young side, they've still got half a forward line. I don't see Blake Hardwick coming up and kicking four again.
I need to see the ins. I know they've got a few players out. I need to see the ins and outs. Gold Coast, obviously favourites. I've got a bit of a set against them anyway this season. I'm all out on Gold Coast. I've just have had enough of them over 10 years of not winning 10 games. So I've been half proven wrong early.
But if there are games they win, it's early in the season on the Gold Coast.
No, I'm tipping the Gold Coast. I'm going to go Hawks at the line. But I can't see it being a blowout. So I'm not in love with their midfield. I'm not in love with their forward line. I'm not in love with any of it.
Jacko.
Zave, does Hardwick start forward?
I think looking at that.
Yeah, and then looking at their stocks, like he has to.
He looked like James Hird playing forward. It was a young James Hird playing forward.
Yeah, it's not a bad call. And that nice size where he's like not quite that small. And I thought he was brilliant, and they probably have to do it, which is bizarre to say because their backline stocks are just, there's just nothing there. And it's, I mean, Sicily's had. Oh, he was okay on the weekend, but 3 weeks before that, he's had a couple of stinkers. I imagine in that sort of slop fest, like him sitting off the back will be pretty important for them. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried as well. I could see it blowing out just because the Gold Coast play that situation so well, like that Saturday night, the Dewey ball, and Adelaide got blown out there as well.
With the Suns, they made all those changes last week. Do you reckon that's a sign that Dimmer didn't realise, but he was like, right, I need to go a different angle. I need to play more kids, which is probably more to my point of out with the old a little bit more. Like I've seen it go away. But Dimmer's brought in kids, and in fairness, the kids were good.
Yeah, they were great. And I mean, he's just started there. Obviously, I think he's gone, okay, I'm going to give you guys first crack. Yeah. Show me which ones of you want to be here and which ones don't, and then I'll turn it over to the kids. So I'm happy taking the Suns there. Port and Frio. Jacko, we'll throw straight to you. You're the man on the ground.
Man on the ground.
For this one, what can you tell us about Sean Darcy, about Sam Switkowski? What's happening over there with Frio's camp?
So Sean Darcy got through a closed gate training session at Glenelg yesterday, so we don't know details. We know that he got through and teammates have sort of set up.
How easy is it for you to see over the gate at Glenelg? I can't imagine the Glenelg gates are too high.
There's not a moat around Glenelg Oval. I'll be down
a little bit later. So
be honest, mate. You went to the pub. You know. As soon as you said it was closed, you said, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to do the right thing by the club.
I'm done for the day. Yeah, got to look after the club. So Darcy got through, so you would think he plays on managed minutes and spends a bit of time forward. So we'll watch that, have a look at what that looks like. It'll obviously be super interesting. You don't want to lose what Jackson's brought, clearly. Longmuir's super hot on Jackson as a key forward as well, like raved about it in his presser yesterday. I'm really excited by the midfield battle. I wrote about it in the West today in the lift out, but I think these are probably six of the top 20 under 25 mids in the competition.
Right, easily.
Vaughn Francis.
Yeah, you can narrow that.
Mate, there's probably four in the top 10.
Yeah, and then obviously, Young, Brayshaw, Sarong. So really looking forward to that. And then even just guys like Willem Drew and Neil Erasmus will play for Frederick and spend time in there. Like, I think this is going to be a really, really good game of footy. I think Frederick out scares me a little bit for Freo, as does Switkowski, who looked like he trained a little bit yesterday, but we'll learn more when the team's coming out this afternoon as to where he's at. If they lose both of them, I don't think they can win.
When we're talking about managed minutes for Sean Darcy, can you see a world where he gets subbed out halfway through the third quarter here?
I think if you're going to sub him out halfway through the third quarter, you just don't play him.
Yeah, I agree.
Jackson brings something so different against Soldo that I feel like you just back that in and back that difference and what you get around the ground, because we know that Darcy doesn't look unbelievable as a forward, and there's not likely to be a world where Freo or 12 goals up in the third quarter and have that sort of luxury sub. So I'd just park him for a week, bring him back against Bailey Williams next week.
We had Sarong on the show during the week, and he said, really quickly, he goes, X, I know you don't think it'll work. So I'm big that Jackson, Jackson needs to play ruck. I think he could be the best ruckman in the competition. Not to say I don't love Sean Darcy. That's what Sarong's point was.
He basically gave you the, why do you hate Sean Darcy?
No. Caleb was like, because he knows I love Sean Darcy. But I'm like, you're losing Jackson, who I think could be the best ruckman in the competition, is my point on it. You got two beautiful footballers to pick from. It's just, they both do the same
thing. One position. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting first look. We all taking Port there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday, Geelong up against North. So this is easily the most lopsided game on paper. The Cats should bank this, should go to 5-0. It would be, how many times do you reckon in the Tom Hawkins era they'd be 5-0 if they can bank this one, Zave? Your mate.
Okay, I'd say definitely 08, 2008 they would have.
Mm-hmm.
09?
I would say.
09 with St Kilda.
09 is a tick.
Yeah, 8-9, and I'd say that's it.
8-9, 2011 when they won the flag as well, 2013, 2014, and 2017.
Jeez.
This is going to be the seventh time in the Tom Hawkins era that they start 5-0. That is ridiculous. There's guys who have played 200 games who have never won five straight games at any point of their
career.
Well,
think about West Coast kids that have been there for 3 years, they haven't won five games total.
Yeah, unbelievable. Jacko, can you make any sort of case for North here, or what are you trying to look at for North here against one of the benchmark sides?
No, I can't make a case. I'm looking for what Charlie Comben brings, partly from a fantasy point of view. There's a little cash cow option there in Charlie Comben, but he looked nice down back.
Who's he going to get, Hawkins or Jezza Cameron?
Pick your poison.
Oh, God. I mean, it's probably Hawkins. It's probably more that stay-at-home sort of thing. I'm also looking for how you avoid Tom Stewart, because there are good sides that can't do it. And Clarko appears to be pretty well all out offense. But that's the thing, right? Like how do you get around Tom Stewart? There are guys at North that want to go a million miles an hour, and the guys a little bit further up the ground that probably aren't the best kicks in the world. And then sort of leaves you with, like, is it just Larky that's offering a contest? So the sides that don't have enough guys making contests up the ground have really struggled getting around him. So I think that's interesting as well.
The Tom Stewart's a good call. And I just wish that the North Melbourne kids that get a stack of the footy, Sheasel and them, not beautiful players, going to be stars, but they watch Tom Stewart play that role where there is a massive element of defence as well as attack. And like Stewart has quarters where he just focuses on defence, whereas I reckon all those young North kids are focusing on 90% find the football, 10% if I've got to defend, I've got to defend. I think it needs to swing back the other way a fraction where Sheasel and those guys aren't having 35 touches, they're having 25, but in that, they are defending a little bit more as well, because it is so easy to get scored against at the moment, North.
And the final game of the weekend, the first real winnable one here for West Coast.
I think there's only three teams, isn't there?
What's that?
That they can win against West Coast. Richmond.
Maybe four.
North. Probably Hawthorn at the moment.
Essendon at home, they could do, I reckon.
Oh, I don't reckon they can, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is definitely one of them. If you cast your mind back to that Josh Kennedy game-winning goal on a Sunday night in 2021 against
Richmond.
From the
junction, from the 50?
From the 50, yeah. That little sort of 12-metre pass from Liam Ryan that he got. So West Coast won that game. They were still a legit contender at that point.
They would have been one of the two or three premiership favourites.
They were one game behind sitting in fourth. So they were, I think they were 8-5 after they won that. So they were still somewhere in that
and
conversation.
And storming a little bit. They found form, yeah.
And then that, in time, has been revealed to be the last. Absolute shout. So at that point in time, at Optus Stadium, they were 34-8 overall at Optus Stadium.
Yeah, right.
Now their record at Optus Stadium is 38-34.
Jeez.
So can they give their home fans a rare one to celebrate in the past 3 years? Can you make a case for them?
No, they needed Baker to miss again, Vlosten to miss again. Get a suspension as opposed to a fine.
So as constructed, you can't see West Coast getting it done?
I've tried to convince myself, yes. And then I think if all things equal, no, I can't. Like, you've got Nank down to Dusty, down to Bolton, into that forward line. They haven't got stars, but they've still got enough premiership players out there. Richmond, they've been okay. Like, they jumped St Kilda on the weekend. Mm-hmm. They should have beaten Carlton. They had one on the bench at the end of that game. I don't think they're going that bad. I think you'd be a little bit naive to think that it's a 50-50 at a minimum. I think it's a play 10 times, they probably win 8.
Yeah. Jacko?
I think Richmond are kind of like my footy guilty pleasure at the moment, because they're a bit shit, but there are guys that just, we know that they're shit. You flick a game on and you're like, oh yeah, they're no good. But there are guys that bring effort. There are kids that are fun to watch. Tom Brown's already like one of the best kicks in the comp.
Kicks it so nice.
Kicks it so well. There's Shea Bolton. That left out, I was saying to a mate on Sunday, he is what GWS thought Israel Folau could be. Just hit a contest hard, hits blokes hard, knows how to find the footy, won't be a high disposal guy, but gives you a presence and an option up forward. I like him. I like Sonzi. I like Campbell. They're just kind of fun. Like they just bring something. So I'm actually really looking forward to watching them.
Sonzi, I like.
Yeah, got to stick with him. Give us a winner and a margin for that one. Zave, what's the margin?
Richmond 30.
30? Jacko?
Yeah, Richmond 24.
Yeah, I reckon West Coast can get within a couple of goals here. I'm not going to back him, but I'm certainly not going to back them. I should back them because then they'll... No, I shouldn't. Anyway, let's throw to Hardball Bets where I won't be backing them.
Hardball Bets, brought to you by Tap Touch.
So, Jacko, do you want to kick us off? You're still yet to get off the mark. You took Sydney at the line against West Coast and it just never looked like getting it done.
Yeah, it felt like a lock and then it just never happened. I'm sticking to my one-leg rule, taking Carlton by 39 or less. I don't hate Adelaide in this game, but I can't tip him. So Carlton by 39 or less.
I'm going to multi up the Dogs to get it done against Essendon to go with the Giants and the Blues. That's paying 255. Hopefully gets us back on a winning run, a start a winning run. Zave, have you got a bonus bet for us?
I do. And thanks to our good mates at, of course, Tab Touch.
Of course.
I'm sticking to Jacko's sort of theory. This is an eight-legger.
That's not my theory. I banned myself from anything more than one leg.
I'm going to run through it really quickly. Brisbane at the line tonight, so 14.5. Bulldogs, Giants. Adelaide's the upset that boosted it.
It's huge.
Adelaide, Hawthorne with a 26-point head start. Fremantle with a 20-point head start. Geelong and then Richmond. And that comes in at 100-1.
If that comes off, I'll leave the podcast. Like, I'm done.
I've had a bet myself on it just
then. Have
you? Yeah.
How much?
No, I just had $25 on it. Just
25?
Just to see how it goes.
Oh, my God.
Fingers crossed.
I think you should hear this as well as our listeners. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We'll let you get out of here, Zave, Jackson. Thanks for your time. Thanks also to our listeners. Enjoy your weekend of footy. We'll chat to you next week.